generate an image of a 1943 German soldier. And to make the answer diversified, the image shows a white guy, an Asian Nazi soldier, an African-American Nazi soldier, and then...
So Sora is a new project that OpenAI is working on?
Yeah, so basically Sora is to video what ChatGPT was to writing. Like, this is phenomenal stuff. You can see, like, woolly mammoths on my screen. But don't just think of it in terms of, oh, creating a video or an ad.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much more than that. You know, even if you're a filmmaker and you're going to create the thing, you can use this to create like a visual concept before they actually shoot the thing.
Okay.
They can come up with the visual concept. Welcome to Inbound Bars. My name is Moby Sadiq and I'm joined again by our friend Mr. Luca. How are you, sir?
I'm doing amazing. Feeling good?
Yeah, good to see you. Yeah. I think we're going to have to start changing some of our snippets from Moby and Tony to Moby and Luca. But it's good to see you again, man.
So am I the co-host now or...?
Yeah, well, you're always going to be the co-host. Like, you're not going to be the main host. Or... As in the Tony replacement. Oh,
main host.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. All good. How you going today, Luca? You well?
Yeah, I'm good. I've been training MMA and stuff, so that's been a challenge but fun.
That's right. Luca's going to have an MMA fight, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it as we go on.
Yeah.
But tell me, Luca, what is making news this week?
Okay, so have you seen the Gemini AI and ChatGPT mess ups? They're hilarious.
Yeah, it's like both of them, right? So yeah. Gemini, again, is owned by Google, ChatGPT by OpenAI, but they looks like they've both lost it recently.
Yeah, they put so there was one Pope the Pope as a woman, and then they were doing like Vikings as black people, and it was just like all over the place. Like everything was just all over
the
place.
So what's actually happened? So with Gemini specifically, they've been criticized for not having diversity.
Yeah.
Right? So they've actually gone too far the other way. So, for example, like I'm looking at this post here. They had generated an image of a 1943 German soldier, right? And so to make it diversified and to make the answer diversified, the image shows a white guy, an Asian Nazi soldier, an African-American Nazi soldier, and then another woman.
Yeah,
so like they've overcorrected, right?
Like it's just like gone the complete opposite way.
The Nazis were. So they've gone too far now. And then there's this other one. Now, this is really, really bad. This is like highly, highly offensive. So this guy put up a tweet. I asked Google Gemini to generate an image of a Bitcoiner eating a steak, and it gave me a Hindu woman eating beef, right? And that's like so inappropriate. Like that's highly, highly, what's the word I'm looking for? Like ridiculous, inappropriate, insulting, right? Because Hindus can't eat beef.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like it's overcorrecting right now. So people have just been slamming them in terms of what they're doing. But even ChatGPT, what did ChatGPT do? I think they went a little bit crazy as well.
ChatGPT was responding in Spanish. So
people
were asking questions, they were just responding in Spanish. That was all over the place.
It lost the plot.
Yeah.
But it goes to show, right? Like you have to be really careful with these things.
Yeah.
Like you have to have AI policies. We've spoken about this before at Red Pandas. Like make sure you have an AI policy, what you use it for, what you won't use it for.
Yeah.
And your checks and balances as well. But that's a good way to start today's show.
Yeah, sure. I think it's definitely hilarious. It's going to be interesting to see like how once it goes on and gets more developed, what sort of crazy stuff will happen, you know?
Yeah,
it just get weirder and weirder.
For sure. So what's next? Also in the AI space.
So Sora is a new project that OpenAI is working on, which is text to video, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, so basically Sora is to video what ChatGPT was to writing.
Yeah, yeah.
So there have been tools like this before, like Runway. You can write some text. You can give it some video. You can give it an image and it will turn it into video. But now ChatGPT, or I guess OpenAI, has done it. And what the experts are saying, they believe that where we are now with Sora is where they estimated, like, before Sora came out, we were 2 years behind. So it's actually, like, really, really propelled us to another level.
That's exciting.
So you can check this guy out, guys. Like, if you can check this out yourself, just Google Sora. Or if you're watching the video version, you can see my screen here. Like, this is phenomenal stuff. You can see, like, woolly mammoths on my screen. You can see like...
Look how high quality it is as well.
It is so good.
It's insane.
Even just 12 months ago, right? Like even with Runway, and this to me, obviously they're going to show their best work. But compared to the stuff we've seen on Runway, like this is
amazing.
This is far
and there's beyond. No excuse not to do video now. Like you don't need all the equipment necessarily. You can use something like this and still get really good video.
Yeah. So, you don't even need stock footage anymore.
Yeah.
You can create your own stock footage.
Yeah.
So it's not out yet, but based on what OpenAI has done in their history, like when they share something like this, it's only ever a month or two away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll be able to create 1 minute videos so far. But it is like crazy good. Like if we're talking about this before, if something moves off frame, right, it has memory to figure out where in frame they would actually come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or depending on where the camera's positioned. Insane stuff.
Yeah. 11 Labs was actually working with it as well. And like with 11 Labs, you can describe a sound and then generate it with AI. Mm. But there's this thing where AI can automatically, and there's different software for this, AI can automatically recognize a sound based on an image and develop that sound automatically. So with this software now, with Sora, it's going to be really cool to see like, oh, there's a video there. Is there going to be a software integration of some sort or an AI integration where like it recognizes the video and then it produces sound, because then that's just the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And my final comment on this would be, don't just think of it in terms of, oh, creating a video or an ad.
Yeah.
Like it's so much more than that. You know, even if you're a filmmaker and you're going to create the thing, you can use this to create concepts. Teachers can...
What do you mean by concepts?
Like a concept, like a visual concept before they actually shoot the thing.
Oh, okay.
They can come up with a visual concept, you know. So yeah, filmmakers will be able to create visual concepts before they go on site and shoot it. Teachers will be able to like recreate historical times, like we saw Woolly Mammoth
or
Vikings.
That would completely change the teaching landscape. Like that'd be crazy.
A CEO can have like a presentation, or a marketer can have a presentation and like actually show the vision of what something will look like, a brand refresh or like a drone shot on a festival or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this stuff is really, really, really powerful.
Yeah, interesting. I didn't even think about it in those ways. It's going to be pretty cool when it comes out. Stay tuned for that episode when it's released.
Absolutely. We'll play with it for sure.
100%.
I think definitely one thing it's worth talking about, because yes, it's about getting excited, but you need to remember what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for example, like, you know, someone said, oh, soon you'll be able to create Pixar movies in Sora or something like that. But that is really being almost disrespectful to the creation process and the creative process.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea of concepting, right? And like Pixar's way, how they actually develop movies and stories is very well documented. They use like the hero's journey.
Yeah.
So they think about the journey. They think about the character development. Like that's why Toy Story, apart from the latest one, I haven't seen it, but like the first two, three, they were amazing because they thought about the character development and they took months and months to think about that and the concept. So what I always say, that's why, like, you know, everyone's super busy. I'm no different to anyone else. I still try to post on LinkedIn 3 times a week. Now you might be like, what's this got to do with anything? It works my creative part of my brain, because like that's the superpower that's going to evolve in this era where you can create anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be like storytelling and creativity that's actually going to get people.
Yeah, kind of relates to the concept of like producing videos. So like, would you rather spend $20,000 on a video production and not really focus on the creative part and the story? Or would you rather spend more time on the story and have a lower production shoot? And the answer is the story, right? You want the content. That's what's going to produce a better result.
The concept. You look at like Mr. Beast,
yeah,
right, or that other woman, she's really, you wouldn't know because you're not a parent, but that woman on YouTube, like Missy J or whatever her name
is. I think I've heard of her, yeah.
Right, she's got the overalls and stuff, you know. My wife's going to kill me because I'm always like watching this with my son. But like that, right, like they were really good at the content side of things.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't about the equipment. So like that thing we have to keep in mind.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
All right. But let's end it on the last thing, another AI thing. So Google, obviously, like everyone else, well, Google Ads specifically, Ads PMax is now using AI to create images and also optimize your ads.
Yeah. So what do you think about this? Like, why is this even important for people if everyone's going to get access to it?
Yeah. So it's really related to the point before. Specifically, what they're actually doing is, so they've got Gemini and they've got Imagen 2, right? Mm-hmm. So Gemini is for text assets. So you can actually use Gemini in Google Ads to actually, you know, say you're having trouble coming up with copy. Everyone's doing this
now. So you don't have to write your copy anymore.
Yeah, or it'll help you. Like, you know, HubSpot's got this too. You write a headline and it gives you some more headlines.
Yeah.
I will say that these AI suggested copy tools, take them with a pinch of salt, because like LinkedIn's AI, you know, content generation tool, it sucks. It's not very good. HubSpot's one is not very good. Like, it's okay. It gets you started. But that's how they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So be really, really careful with that. Just because AI is recommending it doesn't mean it's going to be great, right?
Mm.
And then use ImageGen for text and image generation as well.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, on top of that, the last thing I'll sort of say is, like, they've got this ad strength indicator tool, which what they found in their testing, that if you get, so what it'll do, it'll actually analyze your ads.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have an excellent score, it will. It can lead to an average of 6% increase in conversions
by using the AI.
By using the ad strength indicator tool, like cool. It's not strong now. It's strong. So very, very soon, like, that's one of the things you should be looking at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How strong is the Google's AI telling you how good it is? But man, this, you were touching on this before. Like, it comes back to what we were saying before. If everyone's got these tools, if every Google Ads account has PMax with Gemini and ImageGen, and everyone has AdStrength tool, what's going to set people apart? It's going to be the creative. It's going to be the content. It's going to be the concepting stuff, right? Like, how well do you know the pain point? Like, most websites, we've spoken about StoryBrand. Definitely look up StoryBrand. What is StoryBrand? We have a really good article on our website. We'll leave a link. Thank you. We'll leave it in the show notes as well. What's StoryBrand? Like, it's essentially, most websites don't talk to who they're trying to talk to. They're like, you know, how good is this water? Like, nature's best water. It's the best water on earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not talking to what it's trying to solve for the audience. It's not having conversation based on their pain points.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because this AI and this new tech that's coming out is forcing us to go back to basics. So I feel like as tech came out, we moved away from basics to an extent, and it was like, oh, look at the tech. Like, we can do this. Like, interest and blah, 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 split testing with Facebook. Now it's like, it's gone back to creative. It's gone back to, like, focusing on that concept. So it's bringing us back to basics.
Really good analogy. You're absolutely right. It was about, Facebook used to be about the targeting and lookalikes and interest groups. You're absolutely right. Now it's gone back to the creative.
The offer. Because
these platforms have gotten so good.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, awesome, man. Let's move on. Let's move on to our featured buzz today, which is, how long should your emails be?
Mm-hmm. So to start this off, I'll ask you, out of all the channels and platforms out there, what do you think is the most under-leveraged tool, and which do you think produces the most ROI?
Well, spoiler alert, it's obviously going to be email, right?
But we could come out and be like Facebook, you know?
No, spoiler, of course. So email marketing in 2024 is still one of the most under-leveraged tools when it comes specifically to lead generation and revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, like, even, you know, Kevin Hart, he actually used email marketing on his come up.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. So what he used to do is he used to, like, visit different towns and he used to leave these cards and used to get people to write their email addresses. And then when he'd come back to that town, he would individually email them. And at the same time, other comics were like, how is he selling out these shows? Like, doesn't matter if he's at a big town or some little small hick town, he'd sell out these shows. And this was also coming from comics who were like, had bigger names than him.
Yeah.
It was through email marketing. So it's one of those things, like, it's not, it hasn't been dead then and it's not dead now.
So what do you say to business? Because the last thing you said was pretty interesting. It's not dead then, not dead now. What do you say to businesses or to people that say, oh, the young people aren't on email anymore? You know, email isn't really used anymore. It's TikTok, it's Instagram, it's all of that. What do you say to those people?
I'm still waiting for the year email dies. Like, every year email is supposed to be dead. Every year email marketing is supposed to die. But not only is it 40 times better at converting than, like, Facebook ads or Twitter, but for every dollar that you spend on email marketing, you can get $36 back. That's insane. Now, some studies have said 36, some have said 40, 42, but you're looking on average $40 back for every dollar you spend on email marketing.
That's an insane number. Like, 36 ROI,
that's 3,600% ROI.
That's insane.
Right? But you got to do it properly. That's the thing. That's what we're going to talk about today.
How do you do it properly? Like, where do you start?
So the first thing I want to talk about, so Neil Patel had this really interesting study that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Patel, he's an OG in the digital marketing space. He's got a database of about 15 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they tested this not only in their database, but also then they took their hypotheses and they tried to replicate the results for across 26 businesses that had at least 10,000 email addresses that were active, right?
What were they testing?
They were testing the length of an email.
Okay.
Right. So how long should the email be? And essentially, the number one length for email copy is 100 to 249 words.
Okay, interesting.
Well, I find that interesting. The other thing I find interesting that is actually the click-through rate, right? Mm-hmm. So 100 to 249 was the number one with 3.57% click-through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing I should also mention as well, all these emails had one link, and that's best practice as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you have these text-based emails, I've kind of jumped the gun here a little bit. It should be text-based, right?
why should it be text-based?
Well, you have a lot more click-through. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a time and place for like designed emails, right? Like, for example, the newsletter that we do.
Yeah.
That should be designed. There's some UX involved.
So how do you decide like when to design it versus when to keep it plain text?
So that's what I'm getting at. So this essentially, I'm talking about revenue generating emails.
Okay, got it.
That's what we're specifically,
not
that's
engagement, the key thing to mind. Like you want to make sales.
Because I know some people listen, it's like, oh, the emails have got to be pretty. Yeah, yes. But if you talk about revenue, this is the data. Like you're trying to make a sale. E-commerce, lead gen, whatever. You're trying to make a sale, plain text, at 100 to 249 words long is the ideal.
With one link, right? Yeah.
With one link. Now, what's interesting, now it could be like the link in two or three places, but it should be one destination if you can help it. Am I saying like it's, you know, don't do 300 words or have two or three links? No, but I'm obviously giving you best practice and you can kind of pick and choose according to your scenario, but that's what the data is telling us. Mm-hmm. But the other interesting thing too that I find with this data, these are all very low percentages. So the number one, again, was 3.57 for 100 to 249 words. The number two was 250 to 459 words at 2%. So you're talking about 2-3%.
Yeah.
Right? So the other thing to keep in mind is the other thing that I saw when I looked at this data was like, it's actually really low. But even still, even though like these benchmarks are low, so if you're getting 10%, 20%, that's really, really, really good. It's still better than Facebook ads and Google ads. And
even at the low rate?
Even at the low rate, right? It's just about like, I'm not saying don't do those things. Obviously we offer those things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at, you know, digital marketing or marketing, you have to do a variety of things. And if you have limited time and resources, email marketing is where you definitely need to focus.
Yeah, well, that's why you said it's like under leveraged, right? It's not like you shouldn't use the other channels. It's just that email is such a revenue generating potential that is underutilized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. So I do actually have a question about the emails. So when you say keep it between, it was 100 to 249 words, what actually, and you know, obviously we can't go into too much detail over a podcast, that might be hard, but what actually would you put in the content of an email like that? Like, would it be more of a letter style? Like what exactly would it be?
So I think the first thing to actually think about, and this is something that doesn't happen enough, is who are you sending it to in terms of segmentation?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
So every time anyone at Red Panda, one of our clients, we're like, okay, what should we do? I always ask, you should always ask these two questions. Who is this thing for, right? And what are we trying to achieve? And then go deeper. It's not like, oh, this is for, you know, marketing managers. Go a little bit deeper than that. So back to your question, right? Like what should be the copy? You need to send really, really different emails based on who you're sending it to, where they are in their customer journey.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, just as an observation we found, I would say 90 to 95% of the portals that are HubSpot portals, right? We're a HubSpot partner, that come to us and that we sort of inherit, they don't have any proper segmentation.
Mm-hmm.
They're just sending one EDM to everyone. They're sending one offer to everyone. That's not good enough. So if someone, for example, is fresh into your database, cold, they've never known you before, they should get a different set of emails compared to someone who maybe has been in your database for a year, maybe has spoken to sales, is a different stage of their customer journey.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think it goes back to that whole concept thing, right? The concept's more important than the tool. So rather than looking at like, oh, what email tool should we use? How many words should we do? Which is important, obviously. It really should be about what's that journey look like? So like when do we hit different users with what emails and what should that content look like at different parts of the journey? So we do have a article about this, about the customer journey map. So I'll link that below. But I think like in terms of developing that journey, like where do you even start? How do you even think about that?
Well, that is a long topic. So definitely check out those show notes. So redpandas.com.au/EP155. You can see a video version and everything we've shared. But essentially where you just started at, right? Like look at a resource like that and map out your entire customer journey from when they don't know you at all to the different stages. So like, you know, it's easy with B2B, but this works with B2C too. So with B2B, it might be like, okay, cool, they don't know anything about us. They're only problem aware. Mm-hmm. They're not solutions aware yet. Okay, now they're problem aware and solutions aware. And we've
pitched to them. Wait, what do you mean? Can you elaborate on problem aware, solution aware?
Yeah. So like problem aware might be like, okay, cool. I don't have leads right now,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really know what I need to do. I need to speak to a marketing agency.
Yeah.
So then like the job of the marketing agency would be, okay, cool. We need to now communicate to them, probe their problem, make them solutions aware. Like, all right, SEO might be a thing for you, or, you know, big disclaimer with SEO, be careful, right? It could be content. It's probably going to be content. It could be email marketing. It could be a whole bunch of stuff. So they're at different stages,
mm-hmm.
right? So like someone just before proposal stage is the most aware of their problem. If you've done a good job, if you've done discovery properly, they're most aware of the solution. They should know about your unique selling points. You're going to send them different pieces of content. Like at that mm-hmm. point, trust is the most important thing, mm-hmm. right? How do you avoid them from making a bad decision is the most important thing.
Mm.
So I'd send them case studies. Right now, I could send case studies earlier, but at that stage, it could be really, really important.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone just comes in fresh, brand new, I need to speak to you, or I'm interested to speak to you. If I send them a case study, what am I sending them a case study about? It might not be their unique problem.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to your question originally, so essentially like under segment them, understand where they are in their customer journey, and then how you do that. Again, to keep a long story short, a lot of these emails, these really direct response emails, they always start with a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Always start. They know who they're talking to. They know what stage, and they start with a problem. So going back to this example, it might be you're a marketing manager. You're struggling to manage all your different resources. You're struggling to figure out which channel is actually working. If this sounds like you, hey, maybe I've got a tool for you. You know what I mean? So like yeah. that's kind of the step, the sophistication you need to go
through. Yeah, and obviously there'll be that article in the show notes, mm. but another tactic that kind of came to mind, I'll just mention real quick, is working backwards. So you just think about what's the last step when they buy your service or product, and then work backwards from there, and that can kind of map out a journey as well. So
I mean, that's that. Hopefully there's some value for you guys there. Definitely like, subscribe, review, wherever you're listening to this. And we'll join you again for another episode of Inbound Buzz.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to Inbound Buzz. Learn anything? Return the favor by spreading the word. Want to make your mark in digital? Need help with your digital strategy, inbound and marketing automation efforts? Then visit redpandas.com.au and be sure to tune in next time for another Inbound Buzz hit.